public speaking, you can't avoid the skill anymore. You could years ago, you could delegate it to somebody. It doesn't work. You are the brand and people want to hear from you, especially if you are an entrepreneur or heading up a company or head of a department.
Welcome to an Encore podcast presentation from Forbes Books at ForbesBooks.com.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Good. Well, thank you for inviting me.
I have to ask you a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been a knockout today?
Well, I think I've been knocked out because it's snowing here and I'm snowed in. But yes, I've been a knockout today.
So I love this. When I go to your website, it says, be a knockout. When I get an email from you, it says, be a knockout.
Yes.
How did you come about that?
All right. Well, it's the name of my book, my signature book, Knockout Presentations, How to Deliver Your Message with Power, Punch, and Pizzazz. And true disclosure, it was the publisher who actually came up with the title, but it became my brand. And I will tell you, literally yesterday, I was a knockout because I was speaking at a chamber of commerce. And somebody said that it was the best presentation that they had all year.
So
I was a knockout. But you know what? I really want my clients to be a knockout, and I have to share this quick story. I worked with a group of VPs. It was a sports franchise, and we spent a full day on training, and of course, my seminar is Knockout Presentations. And just the other day, he sent me an email with a link to his video and said, I used all of your techniques and I did a really good job. So I looked at it and I had to call him. I said, you rocked it. And I could see that he was doing exactly what he had been taught, which tells you it's a skill, but this is the best part. He said, oh yeah. And Forbes said I was the best presenter. I said, send me that link. Apparently Forbes reviewed the sports conference and said of all the presenters, he was the most impressive. So that is what being a knockout is. And it's so exciting, and yet everybody can do it. It's not rocket science.
A few other words from your website that I found inspirational as I was getting ready to talk to you today. I'm talking with Diane DiResta. It's DiResta Communications, DiResta.com. Diane is a communications expert, if you couldn't tell. One of the other great quotes on her website, speaking is the new competitive advantage.
Absolutely.
So when you say speaking can mean some different things. Do you mean being a public speaker, feeling comfortable in front of an audience, or literally just talking as you are now, one-to-one?
Well, actually, it's an interesting question that you bring up because this, in a sense, is a presentation. A lot of times people push back and they say, well, I don't do public speaking. And I'll say, well, do you leave voicemails? Do you give updates at meetings? That's all public speaking. But what I meant by that was public speaking in that you can't avoid the skill anymore. You could years ago, you could delegate it to somebody. It doesn't work. You are the brand and people want to hear from you, especially if you are an entrepreneur or heading up a company or head of a department. And so here's why I say speaking is a new competitive advantage. And I put a stake in the ground when I say that. Today, there's so much more competition, Greg, and everything has become commoditized. So even if you create the newest app, it's just a matter of time before someone can duplicate it. So what sets you apart from the competition is your presentation. Mm-hmm. And we all have to have this skill.
What's really interesting about this, Diane, is there are people who are in the business of speaking, right? They're speakers. You hire, and I suspect you do a lot of that kind of speaking, right? You get paid.
I am a hired speaker, yes.
Yeah, you are a hired speaker. And if I wasn't careful, I would think you were giving me advice if I was a hired speaker, but that's not what you're saying. What you're actually saying is anybody in business needs to be a speaker to make your business grow. Not just if you're in the business of being a speaker. We're all in the business of being a speaker. I'm
you
in the business
so right.
of being a speaker. I just get to hide behind a microphone.
But it is public speaking because if you didn't do it well, people would not tune in.
That's exactly right.
The attention span is so short now there's something, some research that says a goldfish has a 1 second attention span longer than a human. So if you weren't good at what you did, you would not have a following.
Yeah. So let me follow up with some other words from your website. The website's at diresta.com, diresta.com. She's Diane Diresta. Her book is Knockout Presentations, How to Deliver Your Message with Power, Punch, and Pizzazz. And here's another quote from the one and only Diane Diresta. It says, be influential, be irresistible, be a knockout. To be a leader with influence, you have to be a knockout presenter. Think about that. To be a leader with influence, you have to be a knockout presenter. Of course you do. If you're a leader, you have to be talking to people and inspiring them and having them follow mm-hmm. you as their leader, right?
Exactly. How inspired are you when someone is a monotone and drones on and gets mired in the weeds of detail? Your eyes glaze over. You're not very compelling when you speak like that, and people don't want to lead to follow you. So absolutely, it's really important for a leader. I think that speaking is a leadership skill.
That's exactly where I was going with this. And equally important, I think, and this is part of the same quote from Diane, while gifted speakers are born, effective speakers are made. And I think that's really to the point of what you do in your business is help people become more effective speakers to benefit their business or whatever goal or undertaking mm-hmm. it is that they've made their life about.
Absolutely. And when I say that gifted speakers are born, even those people studied their craft. It's not like you come out of the womb and then you're Martin Luther King. He studied oratory as well.
Yes.
But he had a gift. You know, some people have a talent, and even if you don't have that talent, you can be effective in getting a message across in a clear, concise, and compelling way.
I would guess that many people listening right now have no idea whether they have the gift or not mm-hmm. because they avoid speaking, so they've never given themselves a chance to find out what they can actually do by standing in front of a group of people, large or small, and talking about something that's important to them.
Interesting point.
And we do know, and I bet you can just roll this statistic right off your tongue, that there's something like public speaking is the number two or number three biggest fear for people after death and spiders or something like that.
All right. Here's the deal.
I knew you would know.
The 1977 Book of Lists said that public speaking was the number one fear, and it even was higher than the fear of death. Then later on, they said, no, now the top fear is spiders. You know, I don't care that it's one or two, whatever. I can tell you it is pretty high because this is what I work with. This is my world. Yeah. And most people are terrified, and you don't have to be. That's the good news.
Okay, so let's drill into, I think we've done a good job of covering why mm-hmm. everyone should be a good, comfortable, effective speaker because it's required to be successful and required to be a leader. Let's talk about the how, because you're the one who said, while gifted speakers are born, effective speakers are made. What is mm-hmm. it that you do to train people to become effective speakers? And I know you can't train us all in a podcast and you can't train us all in 5 or 10 minutes, but you can give us a flavor mm-hmm. so that we're all inspired to go to your website and hire you to give us the full training. And that's really what I want to find out is, how do you do this? How do you get me to overcome my fear and feel confident to do this thing that scares so many people?
All right. So let me tell you that underneath working on public speaking and confidence, what I really do with people is I help them believe in themselves. That mm-hmm. is the higher level of what I do, because it's limiting beliefs that stop people from being effective. And when I work with people, I work in two areas, skill set and mindset. And you really can't separate those. There's a mind-body connection. So what we do is we first look at, where do you want to go? What are your goals? How do you want to be perceived? And we make sure that you understand and identify your brand, because we don't want you to be someone that you're not. Authenticity is really important. And then when you tell us that or tell me that, then the next step is to find out what's getting in the way. And so as people start talking and they bring out their beliefs, we then change them. We create an affirmation, a mantra. I do a lot of reframing, And so that's helping people see things differently. So an example, someone gave me as a gift to her daughter-in-law. Yes, a gift. So I had 4 sessions with her, and she was a second-year law student and was thinking of dropping out because she was afraid to speak in class. And so sometimes she'd raise her hand quickly. What I did with her is we did a lot of both stand-up but also mental training. And she was starting to think that the professor had a bad opinion of her because she didn't answer correctly. And I said, he may be clarifying. He may be just a good communicator trying to find out more. So long story short, when she changed the way she thought about speaking and she started to learn some of the skills of speaking, she aced it. She graduated. Now she's a public speaker. So that's the first part. Yeah. In fact, I have a video testimonial, I believe, on my website of her saying that she's cured. And by the way, you don't get cured necessarily, but you learn how to manage your nervousness. I still get nervous when the stakes are high, but I know what to do. So to answer your question, another thing that people learn when they work with me is recovery strategies, because the fear is you're going to get in trouble and you're going to be foolish. And when I did a survey, Greg, when I was first writing my book, of why people got nervous, they would say things like, well, all eyes are on me. What if I trip? I'll look foolish. And it all came down to one thing, the fear of humiliation. So we take that factor out by helping you find techniques so that if something goes wrong, you know what to do. That's critical. And then we talk about what confidence looks like, sounds like, and how to speak the language of confidence. So I can't give you a mini course in a short period of time, but we really break down the skills one at a time. You do them, you practice them, and I do a lot of work on video. It's a really powerful tool. And what happens is, people talk about reframing. They look at themselves and they say, oh, I thought I was really shaking. I wasn't. Or I thought I was really terrible. I wasn't as bad. So it's a big confidence boost. And my strategy or my approach is to train people to be their own coach.
How much of this involves what I'm going to call, for lack of a better term, muscle memory? In other words, how much of my confidence and comfort comes from simply doing it enough to get comfortable and confident at it?
That's a key factor, because what happens sometimes is an organization will bring me in, their people will, I can see the bar change in one day, and then what happens is they never have an opportunity to speak. And so if you don't use it, you lose it. So muscle memory is very important. That's why we repeat. And we do little snippets, and you come back and you practice again. Very important. So if you don't have an opportunity in a regular formal situation, then do something like join Toastmasters or speak at a local community or do a brown bag lunch at work. But you need to keep your skills fresh. You need to keep doing it.
I would imagine, Diane, that there's probably 2 key parts to this. I'm talking with Diane DiResta. Her company is DiResta Communications. It's DiResta.com. Her book is Knockout Presentations, How to Deliver Your Message with Power, Punch, and Pizzazz. And this question relates directly to the title of your book. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, there's really 2 parts to this. There's the message. The subtitle of your book is How to Deliver Your Message with Power, Punch, and Pizzazz, right? But there's also the physical part of it. There's the there's me, my body, my what's happening in my mind, what's my voice sound like? What are my hands doing? How do I feel? There's my mind and my body. And I'm thinking some people are brilliant with the messaging, but not very good about the physical. And some people feel perfectly comfortable being in front of a group, but they're not very good at managing the messaging. Is that part of the training that you do, is helping people separate out the parts so that they can focus on where they need the most work?
Absolutely. And I always share my YAM formula. And I often say in a group or when I'm speaking, how is public speaking like a YAM? And nobody ever gets it. And that's because, and I do that even if it's not Thanksgiving, because I love to eat. But most of my metaphors are food. But I tell them it's a formula for everything you need to know about public speaking. Know yourself, know your audience, and know your message. YAM. And everything about speaking falls in one of those 3 buckets. So when you talked about the messaging, that would be in that third bucket. The physical would fall in the first in terms of know yourself, and that's the delivery. So yes, we work on mind, we work on body, we work on all of the physicality because it's very important. And we also start with perfecting your presence. In other words, how do you create presence on the platform? Because people don't realize it's the way they enter that really sets the tone, and the way they end sets the tone. So all of those things are critical.
Which I have sort of movie star visions going through my mind as you say this, because that what you're really talking about is the first impression. You know, how do you, and I have found this to be true for myself. I'm actually love to have an opportunity to talk with you about this and hear your thoughts. But I have discovered that when I go to a meeting, or even if I go to a party, the spirit in which I enter the room is the spirit in which I'm stuck. So if I make a big, bold entrance, I get to be big and bold for the rest of the time there I'm there. If I timidly walk in, I'm stuck being timid. Is there some truth in your experience to what I just said?
Yes, there is. And that's why I work on people on grounding positions, because when your body is in a confident stance, it affects your mind and your confidence and the way you're perceived. And then people react to you in a positive way. You've probably seen the TED talk by Amy Cuddy in Power Poses. What she showed is that when you stand in a superhero pose with your hands on your hips, there's actually a surge of testosterone. So we now know that there's a neuroscience to this. And that's the courage and risk-taking hormone. So if you put your body in a powerful position or posture, you're going to feel that. When you feel that, you're going to project that out. So you're absolutely right.
So Diane DiResta, you've written the book Knockout Presentations, How to Deliver Your Message with Power, Punch, and Pizzazz. Your company is DiResta Communications. It's DiResta.com, DiResta.com. I want to know your history with speaking. Were you ever afraid to get in front of an audience to speak? What was your first speech like, and how did you become the expert that you are?
Well, what I'm thinking of is my freshman year of college, where I was registering and I needed a 3-credit course, and I got closed out of everything except for public speaking. So that was fine. I wanted to be a full-time student. So here I am. I didn't know what I got into. And lo and behold, it's the first presentation and I'm the last one to go. And this is the typical 2-minute self-introduction. And I found that the more I spoke, the more nervous I got, and I was speaking really fast. And finally, just as I'm wrapping up, I hear a stage whisper and someone says, "Look, her shoulders are shaking." Well, I wanted to run out of that room and never come back, but I did, and I got a B in the course. And I tell the story often when I'm speaking because I was not a standout. I didn't have a phobia, but I was nervous and I wasn't as good at it. And yet here today, I'm a certified speaking professional. That's a designation held by less than 22% of speakers worldwide. I coach executives, leaders, celebrities, athletes. If you had told me then that I would be doing that today, I would have laughed at you. So to your point, you know, when you avoid, you don't know what your gift is. So step out.
And it's so funny because you're the one who said, while gifted speakers are born, apparently not you.
No.
Effective speakers are made, apparently you. I mean, to retell that story, I could literally see a college-aged you standing nervously, rattling on, talking too fast with your shoulders shaking. And although that person who said, "Look, her shoulders are shaking," may have actually been intending to be mean, that person actually gave you quite a gift.
And I don't know if they were, I don't think they meant to be heard, but I heard it. So I did come back the next day, and that's the message for everybody. Just keep doing it. It's a skill like anything else. Just like riding a bicycle, it's a skill. We can all learn it, and you have to have it today. And you know what's interesting, Greg? There's a real ROI, a real return on investment. I had a CEO that I coached, and he wanted to be, he wanted to convince the executive committee he wanted to have them approve the building of a vaccine facility, which would cost $300 million. And there was no guarantee of success. And then there'd be 3 years of clinical trials. And so he hired me to coach him. He got the approval. And that $300 million turned into a $1 billion success.
Wow.
Now, imagine if he didn't have the skills to be a persuasive, influential speaker. They would have lost out on that profit. So it is a, even though people will say to me, well, what you do is soft skills, I'll say yes, but it has a hard bottom line effect. So this is affecting people in terms of their sales, their leadership, their success. Whether you get a job, I've worked with people who they came to me originally and they were blabbering on and in the weeds and very theoretical. And we switched around and they learned how to speak in terms of the listener's point of view. They were more compelling and they got the job, even though it was competitive. So this works.
And I would think that today more than ever, this is important because you can be an influential speaker without leaving your house or your office by just flipping a switch on a camera or a microphone like we're doing now.
Absolutely. And now there's the whole digital world and people need to master that. And one of the things that is a challenge, there are often interviews now by Skype or by Zoom and all the video conferencing. And for people who are using their laptops, the mistake they make is they look directly at the screen instead of at the lens. And so it looks like you're looking down instead of making direct eye contact. So there are a number of things to learn with that. You're a podcaster. You know how to use a microphone. I can't tell you how many speakers I've seen who can't speak into a microphone. There was one person who was yelling, and I said, could you lower the mic, please? You don't yell into a microphone.
Yes.
It's an amplifier.
Yes. Yes. Well, that speaker had lessons to learn from Diane DeResta. You, if you're listening, have lessons to learn from Diane DeResta because, as she explained, speaking is essential to growing any business. You don't have to be in the business of being a speaker. She's Diane DeResta. It's DeResta Communications. DIRESTA.com, DiResta.com. The book is Knockout Presentations, How to Deliver Your Message with Power, Punch, and Pizzazz. Diane, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Thank you for listening to this Encore podcast presentation from Forbes Books at ForbesBooks.com.